Hello and welcome to another exciting episode of The Outsiders. And today we have a special guest. It's not Zach and it's not me. We're not special. We're just outsiders. Today we have a very good friend of mine, Mr. Gary Jenkins, joining us. And before I pass the mic on to Gary, let me just introduce him. Gary and I actually met each other online over this crazy period of time we've just gone through, learning the various ways and means of online communication. Gary has been running his own podcast for the last, three years, called Gary's Glorious Golden Nuggets, which you've got to listen to because it has, as the name suggests, lots of information and insights into life. And well, let me just pass on to the mic to Gary. Welcome to our show, Gary.
Well, Zach, Mark, thank you very much for inviting me to come in for a visit today.
You're very welcome.
Very welcome. Lovely to have you. So we're going to go straight into this because the listener has, you know, they're very sort of hyperactive. We've got to capture their interests and we're going to get straight to it and find out a little bit more about you. So as the theme suggests, we are talking through the lens of an outsider. And as the name suggests, so Gary, we had a brief chat before we came onto the show today and you sort of immediately connected with the terminology of it. So let me throw this at you. Gary, what does the term outsider mean to you?
Well, I'll tell you quite simply, an outsider is somebody who, in my view, sees the world as if there is a barrier between them and everybody else. It's almost like there's a glass force field or something. You can see what's going on, but nobody can hear you. Nobody acknowledges you. You're just there. To me, you're a ghost. And this really kind of is how I grew up as a child, as I was as an adult. I remember coming back. I was in the Vietnam era. I was in the military, but I ended up in Laos. Laos was a secret war. In fact, we had to sign security agreements and everything that said for 20 years, we would never tell anybody where we were really working, what we were really doing. And actually, our story was we were at Prince Sihanouk Air Base in Thailand. And we just had tons of photographs given to us on our last day before we arrived back in America of us at various Buddhas and markets and things in places around Thailand. So it was a story that we were meant to tell, share, and had severe penalties for prison fines if we ever violated it. And I actually came to the end of my 20-year period being a ghost.
Wow.
In regards to my military career, to just discover that the reason we all went into Vietnam to begin with, the Bay of Tonkin incident never happened. It was just a big lie that they sold to the American people.
Wow. Blimey. And how does that make you feel coming out of it? Because there must be huge emotions.
Oh yeah. I mean, people died. There were horrendous battles and things that just don't fit in the history books. You may have won medals and you really can't show them to anybody because the certificate says classified, big blanks, you know, in black and redacted, you know, they were redacted. And so it's meaningless because if anybody goes to your service record, it doesn't exist.
Wow.
So you were a ghost.
Yeah.
To interact or integrate, should I say, into normal life after such an experience. I mean, what was that like?
Well, you just don't talk about it. And when people, you know, you have to understand that in the United States at the time, when you came back, you would go into like a class at a university or something, and they would start calling you baby killer, murderer, all kinds of names. And so in some ways, it was just easier to stay quiet about what you'd done. When people say, well, what have you been doing for the last 2-3 years since, you know, we graduated from high school and you're now just a freshman in school or something like that? You say, oh, you know, I just kind of like went on a walkabout.
Wow.
Well, where did you go? Oh, you know.
You couldn't
It would have been easier if I just told people I went to prison.
It's very it's an interesting reflection of our society, isn't it? In that you choose to represent, you choose to do the patriotic thing, or you choose to sign up to something that, like that, then you're treated as a ghost when you're there. So you're sort of ostracized within that. And then when you come out, you're ostracized for having taken part in that. So whichever way you turn, you're not accepted, are you? The borders are up, the barriers are up, the defenses are up wherever you turn. That must be.
And what's really interesting is you realize that your silence is lying. And when you speak, people think you're lying. So
if we move on now, just link that to the second question I have for you, Gary. Brace yourself. And that is how you would connect life or share an experience of life subsequent to all of this when you've moved on from the States to either the UK or in Europe, wherever you've been in Europe. Can you think of an experience where, having got out of that immediate situation where you've gone into a new country, how you've integrated in a new place where maybe you don't have to live in such a rigid situation, and how being an outsider again has been part of your life?
Well, you know, it's interesting because I don't really have the impact that came across, but it's like it rules your life because it was really a harsh reality that followed a harsh reality of what was my childhood. And so I was a ghost there. I was a ghost in my 20s. When I got into my 30s, I started my professional careers, my working in life and all those kind of things. It was just something I didn't talk about. And then when I got to my 50s, I came over to Europe to work, or, I've been in 43 countries in my life. Many of them I stayed for more than 90 days. So I've been around, but it was never a topic of conversation, because I didn't bring it up. Or if people say, well, what have you done with your life? I have done so many varied, interesting things. I could talk to them about that. But here is the crux of my life, if you think about it. In the United States, high schools every 10 years have a reunion where the kids that were in your high school class will all meet at some fancy buffet or something like that. Everybody will have a chance to talk. I went to my 10-year reunion. Nobody even remembered me from being in school with them. Even the kids that they had yearbooks that had me standing next to them in photographs remembered me. And so I was a ghost. I came back for my 30th anniversary. I walked in there and everybody asked me who I married in their class because they didn't know me. So, you know, being a ghost, you know, it's like an out-of-body experience. I mean, that's what a ghost is, isn't it? They no longer have a body, but they have a presence or an entity, and they just kind of like stand against the walls. They're always looking on the outside. Maybe you can rap on a table and get people's attention a little bit, but that's it. You're just an influencer. And so here I am now. I'm in my 70th decade of life, and I'm operating here in Europe. I have a vast quantity of experiences that I can talk about. I mean, my goodness, my wife's Ukrainian, so you can imagine how we get glued to the events that are going on in Ukraine. But I can talk about what war is really like and what things need to do. So I have this vast amount of experience and wisdom and understanding that the average person who hasn't been there doesn't have. But I really can't talk about, or I really don't talk about how I gained it. You know, it's just there.
Can I just ask, how does, like you're talking about the ghost and not being recognized at school, what sort of questions does that throw up in your head? Because does that sort of, do you question your reality? Do you question your imagination? Do you question whether these things actually happened? If, I mean, certainly from a mental health perspective, from my perspective, I've had episodes of questioning what is real and what is an illusion.
Well, I will tell you, as a person who has a doctorate in psychology and in these fields and spent 37 years in mental health, I will tell you that perhaps that may have been the impetus that pushed me into that realm. But when I was 47, I think, I decided to go back to the town that I went to school to look up some people, and I brought a friend with me. He said, I've never been to that part of the United States. I'd like to go with you, can I? And I said, sure. So this guy and I, we went, and we actually looked up people in school. And it was really funny, after 3 days of finding people and talking to them, having conversations, he looked at me and said, Gary, did you really know these people? Did you really go to school? Nobody seems to know you. Nobody seems, even, he says, I couldn't believe it. There was a picture of you on this guy's mantle with other people, and he kept saying he didn't recognize you, and I pointed to you in the picture. And he says, yeah, you look an awful lot like him. But he didn't believe it was you.
Wow.
Wow.
My goodness. Okay.
So, Gary, next question for you. Really, in relation to the work we've been doing, because you raised some interesting points that actually I'm nodding my head listening to the things, because I totally relate to the life experience. I mean, in slightly different forms, but similar. Based on the back catalogue of our episodes so far, thus far, is there one that particularly reaches out to you that you can relate to more than the others and that you could possibly link thought to?
You might have surmised out of what I've been talking about is the one about the outsider and the out-of-body experience. No. Because really, that's kind of like being a ghost. It's kind of like you're over there as a physical being, but whatever it is, your energy, your intelligence, your spirit, your ghost, whatever, is over here being an observer, not only seeing you, but seeing the events that are transpiring around you. And much of my life feels that way in my memories.
So would you say that people throughout your life, they may not have recognized your spirit more than your body, whether they, you know, your body changes as you grow and you get older, but some people's spirit, you can see it in their eyes or their aura, whereas yours has completely changed over the years, possibly through your army experience and through everything else.
You know, it's very interesting that you say that. I think what I believe has happened within me is, as a child, I had no confidence. As a child, no one had any expectation of greatness within me. As a child, I was viewed as being mentally retarded because I was dyslexic and unable to learn. I was taken out of the school environment when I was 8 years old and put on a ranch. And I was a cowboy until I was 14 and a half. Then I came back to school for an educational experience. And people, and this is most of the people I went to high school with, they just knew this guy that, let's just say, I was just ignorant. I didn't know anything. I was innocent because I had never been in the school experience, so I didn't know how to deal with the shenanigans that kids want to play on one another. I was just not prepared for that. I'd been a cowboy. I'd done things that cowboys would do, but schools did not allow you to do the things to take revenge back, you know, that kind of a routine. So when I went into the military, and I ended up in the unique and freakish kind of circumstances that that presented for me, I was put into an environment that kind of taught me things. I think it really changed me in many ways. It gave me a sense that I could accomplish, that I was intelligent, that I was bright, that I had certain skill sets that few people actually had, that, well, they actually benefited the military. When I came out of that, I did a 180. This is kind of like going to sound crazy. I went from being, you know, a guy that was in severe combat doing like special operations kind of work, and I decided that I needed to do something that was a 180 from what that was. And so I became a Christian minister, you know, still carry the title of reverend. And not only did I become one, but the church that had me do the seminary and thing with them, I ended up in Germany for 18 months trying to be a minister. So now I had to learn German language. I had to understand German culture. So now it's a totally different environment, a totally different new set of skills. But I'm an angry veteran. I am, you know, and I'm the guy that punched out a dude in church, you know, because he had punched his wife and gave her a black eye, you know. So churches and I, we all came to the agreement that maybe I shouldn't really be a minister, and things came to an end. Came back to America, went back to school as a now a mature student, and took on the psychological path, studied psychology, studied counseling, ended up getting a master's degree, getting a doctorate degree, and then doing things, working in the world of substance abuse, a bunch of people who are ghosts. So a ghost was working with a lot of people who were ghosts who didn't even know who they were, and trying to help them figure out who they are, while I guess I'm trying to figure out who I am. And I came over here to work with ghosts in Europe because I took a job over here doing addictions work. Not only the drug addictions and the alcohol addictions, but the process addictions, the gambling, the sex addictions, and all that kind of stuff was what I specialized in. So I was doing the process addictions in that group and leading them until I finally just came to a point where in 2010 where I said, I'm just burned out. I can't do that work anymore.
You know, on different levels, different ways, we're on parallels. I don't know how many different hats all of us in this group put on. But I was going to just throw this over to Zach, because when you mentioned the church, Zach and you have a very special connection, don't you, Zach?
In my other life, yeah. No, I do. I used to marry people for a living. And at the moment, I do some celebrant. I'm a celebrant. As the the person at the and a registrar, and also now do funerals. So I'm at the other end of the table as well.
It's funny because all of your life experiences on one side, I tick all the boxes, and then on the other side, Zach's got them covered. So yeah. We're all living in a similar zone here. It's
very
great.
Weird. Very weird.
Great stuff. Okay. Well, anyway, wow. I mean, lives led. And experiences, incredible. I think between the three of us, we've probably got about 200 years worth of life crammed into a podcast.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, Zach, do you have any questions for Gary before we head towards our...
Yeah, I just want to touch on the your life in the military and how coming out of that, and it's not really a question, really. I suppose it's more of a statement. It feels like we're talking about what is real and what isn't real, and the illusion that we're fed, and how people, you know, you can disappear within life. It must be very strange because you're told you came out of the military not being able to talk about the experience that you had because of state secrets. And to me, it just goes to show that when it comes to history, that's also something that we can't trust, can we? Whatever events have happened over the years, including the wars and everything, history is written primarily by the winner. So we don't get the full picture, but then we don't get the full picture on day-to-day activities anyway, do we, historical events? And I suppose in your case, with your wife being Ukrainian, you can see that happening with the Russians as well, in a sense.
Well, yeah, I can see that clearly. But, you know, Zach, the thing that I discovered in my life is that the truth will set you free. And so when you are compelled by the powers that should not be in life, telling you that you can't do this, but you can do this story, that never sat well with me. I never felt comfortable with it. So silence was the alternative to going along with a huge fabrication. I know a lot of people who confabulate their lives. They take the really ugly stuff and they minimize it, and they take the rather mediocre things and turn them into victories because that's the history that they need to live for their life. But the problem is that is the doorway to poor mental health. That is the doorway to living a life of stolen valor. And you will be found out. I don't know if you guys watch different things on the YouTube, but I just watched something so traumatic with the Portland City Council. There was a woman in there who had created this military history. I mean, she was in the military. She had done some things, but she had said that she had participated in different events that she never had. Plus, she also claimed that she had degrees from schools. And as a business leader, she had conned a lot of people, apparently, based on her quote unquote degrees and business experience. And she was confronted in a city council with her military record and her academic record. And she tried to stop the thing, but they said, no, we have to let this guy have his time. And so then she decided that she was just going to walk out. But it's all sitting there. And this is the problem. When you confabulate and the truth comes to you, you are bound by bondage of your past, that you created the chains. It's like Jacob Marley in the Christmas story. You know, he's created all of these chains. He forged each one himself by all the actions and choices of his life. In my case, I feel liberated because I stayed true by just being quiet. Nobody can actually confront me and say, well, I've had people try to come back and say, look, you know, we've gotten your military record out and it just pretty much doesn't say anything.
Yeah, that's right.
And I didn't say anything either.
Wow. Yeah. Fascinating.
Okay. Well, we're now getting to the time now we've got to wrap this up. So let me just say, first of all, Gary, thank you so much for spending the time with us. It was educational.
Absolutely.
Enjoyable.
Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you, gentlemen. So thank you. I've enjoyed that. Meeting you all.
And this is also a monumental pod today because it's the last in series two. So we've come to the end of our alienation group or pod series, and we're going to move into another one, a new era next week, which will be all about storytelling, which is an area that we all relate to strongly. So, yeah, once again, Gary, thank you so much for joining us. But before we leave, our fellow podcast outsiders, we wanted to share that everything will remain the same. Stay where you are. Stay tuned in. We are still coming at you, but from a different perspective next week. As I say, we'll be focusing on storytelling. For those of you who have not yet claimed the amazing PDF that we've been offering every week for the last 16 weeks.
Yes.
It's now a great opportunity for you to claim your 5 steps to living your best life as an outsider. And you can claim that this week by going to our Facebook page, which is Zach.
At Hip Not To Be Square.
There you go. That's nearly one in itself.
I nearly lost that one.
And if you write in the chat, outsider, we will send you your 5-step PDF on return of message. We will also be unveiling a new form of artwork, which you'll see on our Facebook page and on our YouTube link and various other things. So new things are happening and we're very excited. But anyway, just to wrap up, thanks once again, Gary. Thanks, Zach. Have you got thank any final you. Things to say before we
no,
disappear?
Just to say thank you so much, Gary. A real pleasure and honor to speak to you.
It was great to be with the three of you, or two of you, the three of us together. I enjoyed this. Thank you so much.
Our pleasure. Anyway, we'd love having you with us and stay tuned and we'll see you again. Same time, same bat channel next week. So see you, Zach. See you, Gary. Take care.
Goodbye.
Bye.